This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello there, Editor-in-Chief buddies. I am Stephanie Flaxman, and you are listening to Editor-in-Chief, the weekly audio broadcast that delivers the art of writing, updated for marketing in the digital age to help you become the Editor-in-Chief of your own digital business. Today's episode is called Three Editorial Lessons from Chief Content Writer Damien Farnworth. So I've announced it. There's no secret. I have Damien Farnworth on the line. Hello, Damien.
Howdy, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. Today's been a very busy day, but I look forward to talking to you. So this is definitely my highlight of the day.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for having you on. As I said, you are Chief Content Writer for Rainmaker Digital, and you also host the podcast on Rainmaker FM called Rough Draft. Is there anything else about you that you'd like to share with our listeners in case I missed something there?
I also co-host The Lead. I only say that because I've been told before I never ever mention that when I tell people what I do. So I also co-host The Lead.
Okay.
With perfect. Jared Morris who's a VP of Rainmaker Digital. So.
Yes. Okay. Good. I missed that one, but
that's true.
So.
See, I even missed it. So it's okay if you miss it.
So this is not for newer listeners. This is not your first time on Editor in Chief. You were actually my guest on my third episode. Show number three. And I'll link to that in the show notes over on editorinchief.fm so people can go back. And this is now my 30th episode.
Wow. So is that the pattern, like every 10 times? Is that it? Three times 10. Yeah, it'd be 30, right?
Yeah. Every
so
10
I will
times.
See you, what, in show 90? Is that right? No, is that working? No, 300. No, show 300. If you're going 30 times 10, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's going up exponentially, right?
Exactly. The new math.
But you actually, with your show Rough Draft, you, as of today, have completed 100 episodes of Rough Draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got 100 shows in my belt, and I actually took a break right after that 100 shows. I'm probably about like 3 weeks in that break, about 2.5 weeks, I guess 3 weeks. So yeah, it's coming back online here in a couple of weeks too. Probably be online by the time the show gets aired, I think.
So much fun. Very, very good. I'm glad you're getting a break. So you have literally more than three times podcasting experience than I do. So I wanted to have you back on the show since you have done all these episodes and you were on a very frequent publishing schedule. So you could share some of the lessons that you came across because you really assumed this editor-in-chief role of your podcast with all the content that you were producing. And you had to make a lot of decisions based on what was best for your audience and what was best for you as the producer and kind of just taking lots of different things into account. So I was hoping you would share about three lessons that our audience could think about when they go back to becoming the editor-in-chief of their content.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it because it was a lot of that was just in my court, you know, from not just thinking about it from, you know, day to day, like from show to show, but thinking over the overall of the show in entirety. Because, like, you know, I write for Copyblogger, the blog, but, you know, I'm not really responsible for the strategic kind of long haul, but that's more in your court and in Pamela's court. So this was kind of one of those experiences where it was all on me. Mm-hmm. And so after 100 shows, I walked away from there, at, you know, with three major lessons about this, because this was my first time podcasting on my own. I'd been doing The Lead, but really kind of Jared was leading a lot of that. He was doing a lot of the recording and the editing and then putting in the production and stuff. And I just needed to show up prepared. But this was sort of my really kind of maiden voyage in the podcasting world. So the three lessons, and we can dig deeper into these, but the three lessons that were basically, you've got to experiment, and you have to enjoy yourself, and then ultimately you have to adjust if you're not enjoying yourself. So.
Wonderful. I like it. Should we talk about experimenting? What that meant for you? Let's start there.
Yeah. So experimenting meant, like I said, this was really new ground to me. So I'm by myself. It's a monologue. And I decided not to do the interview path that a lot of people choose. And I don't want to say it's the easy way out, but it really is kind of the easy way out, because you just have to, you know, think of the questions, find the person, and then show up and ask them the questions, and then they provide the content. So that was kind of all in my court to do the monologue. And but the other thing too that was like new and fresh for me was, like, you know, speaking and to the mic, and I don't like performing, you know, and like use the delivery. So I had to work on things like delivery. I had to work on things like, it was all new territory, and I found myself. I mean, it took me probably about like 36 shows to finally find my legs. Like, where am I comfortable? Because I really kind of found myself kind of, you know, I knew all these great podcasters, and I was trying to find myself just kind of imitating them. And so I wasn't really my natural self in a lot of ways. And so because I was trying new things, like, what do I want to do with this, and what works best, and what do people want best? And so I just, you know, I found myself, you know, working on the delivery and how I, you know, how I presented myself and inflected my voice and used pauses and that sort of thing. And eventually I felt to a place where I just got really comfortable and felt kind of natural and said, okay. And the other part of experimenting too was the fact that I went from like not using any sort of underscore music, but then Toby Lyles, our production guy, he suggested, hey, you know, why don't you give some underscore music, you know, a shot, and we can lay, you know, underneath the podcast. And so that was a complete experiment, but it turned out really well, and I'm glad I listened to it. And I think it worked well, and I got a lot of good feedback about that too. So ultimately, like, you know, the big editorial decision there was to experiment and try things that are outside of your box until you find something that really kind of works for you.
Yeah, I like that a lot, and part of that is just being really flexible to what is possible for your show and the content you produce, because you felt okay with, okay, I was doing things like this, but you evolve as you go, and being open to not being so strict in how you were doing things just because you were doing them like that before.
Right.
I think a lot of times people get kind of stuck in routines of, well, I was doing this and I can't just change what I'm doing. And I'm always like, yeah, you can change what you're doing whenever you want. it's up to you. If you think that there's something better, there's it's from that place of getting better and presenting something to your audience that's better, to get out of, you know, that strict mindset of, I was doing it like that, I have to continue.
Right. And the you know, paying attention to feedback, and because I tell writers, I know that like my own maturation as a writer, like one of the places, moments in time where it sort of spiked, was when I was in a critique group, and when I was getting just, you know, sort of weekly getting very pointed, specific feedback on things that I was writing. And it, you know, all like, exposed so many blind spots. And so the same thing, it's like, but at some point though, you know, a mature writer has to then say, look at all the feedback that's coming in. It's like, what do I pay attention to and what do I don't pay attention to, you know, because you can't listen to it all. And so, you know, some of the negative feedback that was coming in was just sort of like about delivery, about it. And like, some, I just can't change, you know, like that's my voice. And I don't have a Robert Bruce voice, but you know, I can be natural. I can, you know, cause a lot of people are saying you sound artificial, like you're not comfortable. Like I listen to your lead podcast and that's not the same person I hear on this one. What's, you know, what are you trying to do? And so I had to listen to that. I'm like, okay, so that's pretty decent feedback. So that sort of thing you have to pay attention to, and that'll help you experiment too. And like, you know, Toby's feedback was, you know, positive. He's just like, hey, why don't we try to do this? So, but ultimately it's just like being able to, and that's the thing too, that, you know, Jared and I know have talked about this, is just not being afraid to evolve. Like if you're going in direction of content, you know, and it's not working, or you know, it's okay to shift, you know, it's okay to kind of pivot and go to a different direction and try something new. There's no, you know, until you have a really large audience and people are programmed for a certain thing, in the early stages, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's your time to figure it out.
Exactly.
There are a lot of advantages of not having that set big audience that, you know, does have a huge expectation. We've touched on adjusting a little bit or not being afraid to adjust. It's sort of a bit of a gray area with the experimenting. Was there anything else? Like, what did you end up seeing as a positive result from your adjustments? Or did you try things you didn't like? And how did you, you know, proceed with different things that you were adjusting to as you went on?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So like a big thing was, like, I found myself towards probably about, I don't know, show. Like, well, there was a moment I did like this series on reader questions where I asked questions from the readers and then I would respond to them. And like, I did those and I thought this would be really great, but I ended up doing them. Like, I really didn't like that. That wasn't like, mm-hmm. I didn't find that fun in the least bit. I don't know, because it was the topics that I had to cover. But at that point on, and that was probably like around show 60 or 70 or something. And I remember thinking, then like my joy in doing the podcast started to kind of wane, and I was just pretty much just kind of showing up and, putting the time in clock in and clocking out. And I was like, maybe something's not right here. And pretty much what it was, I mean, part of the thing was the production side of it was just kind of killing the daily, you know, like the daily production side of it was just kind of catching up to me, mm-hmm. and the routine and the boring routine of the production stuff and putting that together. Cause I really enjoyed the creative part of it, but I had lost that kind of thrill. And so, the part that the major adjustment and restructuring that I've done was, you know, cause about that time I had a conversation with Robert Bruce and I was just like, you know, help me here. I feel like I'm struggling, you know, and he and I talked and he's like, maybe you need a break, you know, take a break. And I said, well, I want to finish out 100 first before I take any kind of break. But then he said, take a break. And then, yeah, let's talk about, you know, changing the format, changing the structure and stuff. Cause the other thing too was I was filling out like the 10 minute or less. I was kind of filling out all the topics I could do in that amount of time. And I've kept on finding myself bumping up against the ceiling of that time limit. Like I would do an intro for a show and then I'd run out of time. I'd say, okay, well, tomorrow we're going to cover the five steps. And then the next day I'd be like, I do the five steps. And then I was like, well, then tomorrow we'll cover the takeaways because, you know, and that, you know, what should have been a 30 minute show was three, you know, 8 minute shows. And I was like, hey, you know what? I think I want to, adjust and do longer shows that allow me, you know, more time to kind of open up and explore and, you know, work the studio, like they said in the Cowbell, the Saturday mm-hmm. Now Live Cowbell, work the studio. So.
Nice. Yeah, I love when you say around episode 60 or 70. I'm not even halfway there yet. Or I guess for 60, I'm halfway there. But you know, you learn a lot when you produce that much. And I it's so interesting because, you know, we always say, you know, think about the audience, what is best for the audience. But part of, you know, the editor-in-chief mindset that I talk about a lot here is you have to do what's best for you too. Otherwise you can't keep it up and what you're doing is not sustainable. And, you know, Jared talks about sustainability on the Showrunner podcast also, but it's like you have to get something out of what you're doing and your passion has to shine through. Otherwise, you're not producing that content that is ultimately beneficial for your audience. So I love all, you know, the personal adjustments that you thought of as you went to get to the place where you could feel good about what you're doing going forward. And it's not like you didn't feel good about what you've done so far, but, you know, it's still more experimenting even after.
Right.
100 episodes.
But yeah, and it's like, I know Jared talks about intrinsic profitability, meaning like you actually enjoy what you're doing. And that's what it too, like, and you know this too with content, you know, when you're just creating content, I always tell people, it's just like, write about stuff that you're enthusiastic about, because otherwise, you know, people will see you for the fraud that you are, because, you know, I think it's so hard. I think only a special sort of person can be kind of the paid mercenary who's like, okay, I need you to write about this topic. And it's like, you know, nowhere in their wheelhouse and they have to create it. And you might be able to get away with one-offs on that, but if you're doing like anything that's consistently and like in a series that's long-term, you've got to be enthusiastic about it and you have to have, you know, deep interest and deep passion in what you do, because then half the battle in some ways is kind of won, because I love people who are like in love with what they do because they don't have to be the greatest writer. They don't have to be the greatest podcaster, but they're just, you know, their enthusiasm just kind of bleeds through the speakers and, you know, out through the page and stuff like that. And you're just like, you know, that just so much fun to read and listen to people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So we've kind of already, gone into the third lesson that we wanted to talk about, that enjoy what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Lesson. So yeah, that said a lot about it. Is there anything else that you were thinking about that?
Well, so just the enjoy part, like, because, you know, when I finally got the break from the show, like I hit 100, and so then I was off. It was probably within a week where I was like, okay, I'm chomping the bit. I'm ready to get back now. Mm-hmm. And because I knew, like, I had all these ideas, but I didn't, you know, I really, what I didn't have was the space and the time to kind of let them percolate and kind of, you know, boil up. It's like, so I was always sort of at the last, you know, sort of, you know, at the 11th hour, you know, kind of almost at a level of stress that was continuous and that wasn't allowing myself to sort of back off and be meditative and contemplative about the stuff. And so, but once I hit that patch of absence from the rough draft, my mind started percolating again. And I was just like, yeah, I really want to get back. And I think, and the reason I sort of mentioned that is because that's such a good barometer of, like, you know, I think for a lot of things in life, you know, relationships, your job, you know, projects that you're working on, is like, you've got to have joy in doing what you do, and you got to be able to like come back and look forward to, because the moment you start dreading it, it's like, find something else to do. And you know, and if it's really meant to be, then that feeling will come back. And so I was really, I will be honest, I mean, I was kind of concerned. I was like, okay, when 100 hits, I go on my break, am I going to be like washing my hands off and saying I'm done with rough draft? But like I said, within a week, I was like, oh yeah, I'm ready to get back to this. So in that sense, I knew that I do enjoy this. I just needed a break.
Yeah, you know, I had an episode of Editor-in-Chief a few weeks ago that talked about the importance of breaks for having breakthroughs. I didn't really talk about this on the episode that much, but I've had times where I'm just like, I'm done doing anything. I'm done writing. Mm-hmm. I'm done anything. Isn't this going to be great? And as soon as that pressure is relieved, I'm sitting around going, oh, I could write about that, or I want to write about that. It's we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, or we are tired from the workload. Yeah. And it's not that, you know, necessarily that we're not supposed to be doing things anymore. It's very simple.
Yeah. Like we used to talk about it, you know, like staring at the wall time, like that just, you know, our culture can't understand that, in that sense of like, it seems like to be a waste of time, because we're mm-hmm. a culture that's bent on, you know, productivity and effectiveness and doing, going and stuff. But like, you know, sometimes you just need a long bike ride, and that's just can be one of the most productive, you know, times of your day. And you know, especially in the creative field. And like, you know, my wife and I have a policy. It's like, we call it white space. Like, we want to be able to look at our calendar and see a lot of white space. And mm-hmm. so that means we say no a lot, because we want to be able to say yes to some of those spontaneous opportunities. But at the same time, we don't want to feel like our life is kind of, you know, overwhelmed with stuff and we're always on the go. But we want to actually enjoy like what we're, like the things that we have in front of us and stuff. So it's made us really deliberate. And that's kind of bled over into my own, you know, creative life too. Is just like, yeah, okay, I'm going to say no to more things. And so I had that more of that white space in my calendar.
Excellent. I like that very much. I think that's a good note to end on. It kind of sums up a lot of what we were talking about, where we're going with these lessons.
Yeah.
Where can people find you online, Damien?
So I'm on Twitter at Damien Farnworth. You can find me on Copy Blogger blog. Just look up Damien Farnworth. And I also have a site called thecopybot.com, but I don't publish there much anymore. But of course, because most of that creative stuff that would be on Copybot is going on Rough Draft now, which is at roughdraft.fm. That's roughdraft.fm. And I think it's October 7th that the show is coming back on.
Ooh, mark your
calendars. Episode 101, right?
All right, yeah. 101, new era.
And it's a doozy, mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, how fun. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I really appreciate it. As always, Editor-in-Chief buddies, you can go over to iTunes and leave Editor-in-Chief a rating or a review if you like what you're hearing. I would appreciate that. So thank you for listening to Editor-in-Chief. I am Stephanie Blackman.